Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And here we read of a truth, and I guess it depends on how you see what the Apostle Paul is writing here, but it seems as if the church at Corinth maybe didn't really understand this truth that he's trying to get across to them. Because notice the very first word. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we'll stop reading right there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, please, as we continue. I ask for your help as the speaker today that you will guide my thoughts and words. I'll also ask for all of us as hearers that you would help our ears to be open and our hearts to be receptive. This is a great and wonderful truth that all of us need to know and understand and live. Help us now as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. The title that I've given to my outline this morning is Your Body is His Temple. Your body is His temple. You may or may not know this, but when you leave church today, you don't leave God here. He goes with you because He lives within you. And that's the truth here that's being talked about. In this text, these two verses that I've chosen as our text today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and it seems to be that maybe they don't understand this or know this very well. And I get that because he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? There's two question marks in that one verse. Almost like, don't you people know this? Don't you people understand this? He wants them to understand the truth that the body of every believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a very special, blessed truth in Scripture, of course, that maybe the believers there, maybe some of the believers even in the world today, maybe they don't fully understand. And I believe it's important because when we understand the importance and the implications of this one truth, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it can radically transform our life and how we live our life. I want to give you a couple of different thoughts today from these two verses. The very first one I want to give you is what I'm calling here the spiritual presence in the body. The spiritual presence in the body. And you notice verse 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? God is telling us here in this one verse, God's telling us that every believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We come to church, of course, on our church anyway, Sundays and Wednesdays, we come to church, of course, to meet with the Lord and to meet with one another. But as I mentioned a second ago, when you leave here, it's not like you left God here and you went out on your own, but you take God with you because your body is His temple. More than this building is His temple, your body is His temple. He lives within you. There are, of course, people today, and have been for years, I guess, that teach that a person can be saved one day and maybe for several days and then later on receive the Holy Spirit. But that's not taught in Scripture. In the Bible, what happens when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, in that very moment, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And He lives within your heart, and so you have Him on the very day of your salvation. In another place in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, it says this, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of His. In other words, you don't belong to the Lord if you don't have the Holy Spirit. The opposite of that coin then is, if you have the Holy Spirit, you do belong to God. And if you do belong to God, you have the Holy Spirit. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. When you understand that the Spirit of God comes to live within you at the moment you're saved, you realize that you are His temple. You are His dwelling place. He comes to tabernacle, to use an Old Testament word, He comes to tabernacle within you. So now you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. And I hope you'll understand this, not only as a very special power to live the Christian life, but also as a very special person who's come to live there and will never leave. You, when you came to church today, if you're saved, you brought the Holy Spirit with you. You didn't come here and then meet Him, but you brought Him with you. Because you're saved, you know the Lord is your Savior. He lives within you. Now, by the way, friend, because He lives within you, everywhere you go, He goes. You go to the grocery store, He goes with you. You go to work, He goes with you. You go to school, He goes with you. You go to do some form of recreation, He goes with you. All right, so everywhere you go, He goes with you. Now, do you think that the Spirit of the Lord would want you to go to a place that's unholy? Probably not. In fact, I'll say certainly not. That's not where God lives. That's not where God, you know, visits. That's not where God works. That's not where God spends His time. He spends His time in places that are good and wholesome and holy, which means, by the way, that you and I have to be careful where we go. Because again, everywhere we go, He goes with us. If He's with me when I'm here at church, He's also with me when I'm home. If He's with me when I'm home, He's also with me when I go to work. If He's with me when I go to work, He's also with me when I go to the grocery store. And I could go on and list all kinds of places. We need to make sure that we live a life that's characterized by holiness and decency and morality and so forth. Why? Because the Lord is living within us. He has to go everywhere we go. He lives within us. All right? You and I should live holy lives. Because He is holy. And the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? Old and New Testament. Holiness, of course, involves our attitudes. Holiness involves our appetites. Holiness involves our actions. All three of these areas, attitudes, appetites, and actions, are supposed to be characterized by holiness because our Lord lives within us. And everywhere we go, He has to go also. By the way, not only because He lives in our body, not only should we live a holy life, but I'm going to suggest this also. We should also live a healthy life. A healthy life. People have a tendency when you come to discussing and talking about and thinking about the physical body of the human being, people have a tendency to go to one extreme or the other. There are those, of course, who basically ignore their body and let it run down like an old tattered shack. I don't think God wants us to do that. I think He wants to take care of our body. And then, of course, the other extreme is those who basically idolize the human body and treat it like a shrine in almost worshipful manner. I think the true way to look at things is somewhere in the middle there. Don't let it just run down like an old, run-down, abandoned shack. And don't idolize the body and treat it like a sacred shrine that you have to worship. But somewhere in the middle, and that means we take care of it, we give it maintenance, we give it respect, we are careful to use it properly. Why? Because it's God's temple. It's God's temple. You and I should strive to live a holy life and a healthy life. And I hope you'll get this. Not just to live a long life, but to live a better life. To live a life that really is honoring to God. And better. You have strength and years, yes, but strength to serve the Lord and do what He'd want you to do. A sound mind and a sound heart will live much better in a sound body. And so we should take care of that body. Why? Because we have a spiritual presence that's living in our body, and His name is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He came to live in our body once we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Notice again verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So the spiritual presence in the body. Have you ever thought about the fact that everywhere you go, He has to go? That might, if you remember it, that might keep you out of some places. Because you wouldn't want God to have to go into a place that He wouldn't normally go. The spiritual presence in the body. Here's one more thought, and then I'll move on to my second point. Would the Spirit of God want to go to church on a Sunday morning? I believe He would. I believe He would. By the way, that's a good reason to go. That's a good reason to go. Because He lives within your body, and He would want to be there with God's saints, worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord and so forth. So the spiritual presence in the body. Number two, there's a second truth that I wanted to point out to you in these two verses, and that is the sacrificial purchase of the body. The sacrificial purchase of the body. Notice our text again, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Here it comes, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For ye are bought with a price. There's the sacrificial purchase of the body. This verse and this point here is referring to the fact that our Lord paid a price for our redemption. The purchase price that He made when He bought us and freed us from our sin, the purchase price was the precious blood of Christ. The redemptive purchase reminds us of at least three things very quickly. Number one, a terrific price was paid. We're coming up later this month, we're coming up on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And of course, when we get to those weeks, we'll be talking more about the crucifixion and so forth. And you've heard me describe the crucifixion before. I'll not go through it all again this morning. But when you think about the things that the Bible describes and maybe other things that you've read about the crucifixion, you have to know that there was a terrific price that was paid. Our Savior went through a great amount of punishment and pain and suffering, agony, in order to pay for our redemption. It wasn't something that any of us should ever take lightly. That price that He paid was His life and His life's blood. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Many times when those who were going to be crucified were scourged, if you remember that word from the New Testament Gospels, when they were scourged, like in Jesus' case, there were many, many stripes that were laid upon His body. Many of those people who were scourged like He was actually died before they got to the cross. That's how bad it was. I don't know if you've ever seen the film, The Passion of the Christ, but it's a pretty, as far as I could tell, it's a pretty accurate visual description of what our Lord went through. And if you've ever watched it, if you've ever seen it, there are places there that are hard to watch. Because he went through tremendous pain and agony. He paid a terrific price for you and for me to be redeemed and purchased from our sin. The price that was paid, of course, was his life, but it also included, didn't it, the rich red royal blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Savior gave that up for us. There's an old Puritan saying that says this: Jesus paid for us with his own blood. The question is he getting his money's worth? Boy, there's a statement that'll arrest your attention. Jesus paid for us with his own blood. Is he getting his money's worth? A terrible price was paid. And a second thing that I wanted to mention here about this price that he paid, a terrible pain was endured. I've described it again many times in the years that I've been here and talked about it a little bit just here this morning. But the greatest suffering that was ever suffered by any human being was the Lord Jesus Christ when he paid for our sins and he hung and bled and died on that cross. Perhaps, if I can suggest this, the greatest pain that was endured was when the Father turned his back on his own Son. And the Son cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus went through all that so that you and I could have the Spirit of God to live within us. He purchased us with his own life, with his own suffering, with his own blood being shed. It was a terrific price that was paid. It was a terrible pain that was endured. But I want you to see this also. It was a total possession that was obtained. You notice here in verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And notice the last phrase, and ye are not your own. And ye are not your own. A total possession was obtained. I know there's some folks that don't want to hear this, but it's still true. If you're saved, God owns you. God owns you. He not only owns you and me, lock, stock, and barrel, he owns us, liver, spleen, and brain. Every different part of us he owns. Every part of you belongs to God. Pastor, how can you say that? Because he purchased you. Ye are not your own, the Bible says. Our God has at least two claims on every one of us. First, the claim of creation. He made us. Secondly, the claim of redemption. He purchased us. And so I say again, God owns you. You really have no right to live your life as you want to live it. You really only have the right to live your life as he wants you to live it. Because he owns you. He made you, he bought you, he purchased you, he owns you. I say again, number one, the spiritual presence in the body. Paul said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, the sacrificial purchase of the body with a terrific price. A terrible pain was endured. A total possession was obtained. He owns you, friend. He owns you. The sacrificial purchase of the body. The third and final thing I wanted to bring to your attention this morning from our text is the special purpose for the body. Notice our text again. What? Almost as if, you folks don't know this? How can you not know this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Now here's the purpose. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's the special purpose for the body. We've all been saved, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, we've all been saved. And have you noticed this? He left us here. Now, the longer I live, the more I wish he would have taken us home right away. I'm looking for his return every day. Are you? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I don't know how many times in a week I say that. But I'm looking forward so much to our Lord's return because of all the things that are going on in the world and how we just, we're just going sideways, it seems. But anyway, he left us here. And why did he leave us here? Well, because he has a purpose for us. And that is to represent him to the rest of the world. We're here to represent him to the rest of this world. In glorifying him, in honoring him, in living our life for him, in serving him, we're here to represent him to the rest of the world. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. We're not created for ourselves. We're not saved and redeemed for ourselves. We're created and saved and redeemed to serve the Lord and to glorify him. And I want you to think about this. I'm going to take it a little bit step further. I don't know that our chief goal should be to serve God as much as our chief goal should be to glorify God. To glorify him. Now, I know there's things going to be included. If I'm going to glorify the Lord, naturally I'm going to read the Bible. If I'm going to glorify the Lord, I'm going to pray. If I'm going to glorify the Lord, I'm going to live a life of holiness. And if I'm going to glorify the Lord, I'm going to tell others about him. If I'm going to glorify the Lord, I'm going to give my tithes and offerings. I know there's a lot of things included in here that relate more to service, but what is the chief goal here? Is it not to glorify the Lord? Of course it is. We were created and left here, saved and left here, to glorify God. Which reminds us again that God didn't do all that for my good. God did all that for his good. God didn't save me to bless me. God saved me to bless him. To glorify him. God saved us and left us here to be blessed by our lives and what we do with our lives. That's why in another place in 1 Corinthians it says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. That means things that I say with my lips should glorify him. Things that I see with my eyes should glorify him. Things that I hear with my ears should glorify him. Things that I taste with my mouth should glorify him. Things that I do with my hands should glorify him. There's really one infallible test. When you come up against, should I do this or should I not? There's really one infallible test. Does it glorify God? If it doesn't, then maybe I shouldn't be involved in that. This is the special purpose for the body. To glorify the Lord. So this morning, I've read these verses and I'm going to read them again and give you the 3 points again. And then I want to show you a hymn that we have in our hymnal. And I probably should have sang it today, but we didn't. But notice, if you would, our text again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We talked this morning about the spiritual presence in the body, the sacrificial purchase of the body, and then the special purpose for the body. So let me call your attention to this hymn, all right? If you'd find a hymnal and open to number 39. Number 39, a hymn that I know that we're all familiar with. And we're not going to sing it together, but I would like you to look at it and see the words. Number 39 is called, Take My Life and Let It Be. Look at the words, would you please? Think about the message and the text, but look at the words. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Verse 2, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Verse 3, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Not a mite would I withhold. And then verse 4, take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever, only, all for thee. Ever, only, all for thee. Doesn't that hymn sum up 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 very well? It's exactly what it does. And again, our text, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you could remember from today's message the fact that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit, if you could remember that everything you do and say should bring glory to God, if you could remember to live your life in such a way, because the Spirit lives within you, to live your life in such a way that it always brings glory to the Lord and brings a blessing and a smile to His face, you would have gotten the truth of these two verses right there. May God help us to live out these two verses in our life, because our body is His temple. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking. Your body is His temple. Father, thank you for this wonderful truth. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God who lives within us. And I said it early on in the outline, it is a special power that's there to help us to live the Christian life. But we focused primarily today on the fact that not only is it a power, the Spirit of God is also a person. It's not just an it. It's not just a force. It's a person who lives within us. It's God Almighty living within us, which should help us to be careful how we live, where we go, what we get involved in, even who we have as friends, what activities we're involved in, so many different things. Help us to live our life in such a way that it honors you and pleases you, Lord, because we are your temple. You live within us. Thank you for that. Help us with this, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.